Hey, it's the Big 2-0, episode 20 of the audio production show from Music Radio Creative. I'm your host, Kyron Mountain. And don't forget to stick around to the very end of the show for a special offer from Music Radio Creative. This week's episode is jam-packed with some great info for not just audio professionals, but for anyone trying to make a name for themselves on the internet. I have a very interesting guest. He's not necessarily an audio professional, but it doesn't mean he doesn't produce this kind of stuff. His name is Roberto Blake. He is a graphic designer and a YouTube creator. There's the production angle, right? He's built brands around educating and inspiring creative professionals and students. You can head over to robertoblake.com for more info. Roberto, how are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, thank you. Thanks for coming on the show.
Not a problem. I'm always interested in dealing with other people who are out there creating awesome.
Oh, I like that. Creating awesome.
Yep. That is my philosophy. That is my tagline. We'll get more into that and everything. Just a reminder, everybody, you can find me at robertoblake.com, and you can find me on YouTube at youtube.com/robertoblake2.
So, Roberto, it's a pleasure to have you on here. Let's get a bit of backstory. So you're doing the YouTube thing, and what are you teaching people over there?
All right, so I'm actually covering a lot of different things on YouTube. Obviously, I'm being successful in the YouTube space. I'm growing that by between 2,000 and 3,000 subscribers a month. So I do a segment on the show where I teach people how to set up a YouTube channel and how to be successful at it. I go into that. Primarily, though, I do a lot of graphic design stuff because that's my background. So instead of just the typical tutorials that people do on graphic design, or just the, oh, here's color theory, oh, here's design basics, I go a lot into, you know, the deep end of how you deal with clients, you know, how you grow your business. I go into the business side and a lot of the marketing and the branding stuff. Whether you're doing YouTube, whether you're doing audio production, I think that a big part of success that people overlook is how much marketing and self-promotion has to go into it to really get that, you know, to scale and to be successful. So I go very deep on that, for photo, for video, and then I still get into the tutorials.
So basically, you're saying if you're interested in graphic design, check it out. If you're not and you're just interested in doing something on the net, it's still worthwhile for you to check out.
Exactly. If you're still wanting to get into the net, you still need to build a personal brand to do anything. Business, social media, video production, you want to be a YouTuber, you're a photographer, you're an artist, and you want to figure out how do you use the web and social media and video to be successful, I cover all that stuff.
So how did you get into that? Like, why YouTube?
YouTube is the second largest search engine in the world, for one thing.
And it's owned by the biggest, right?
And it's owned by the biggest. So if you want to be successful in Google, going with a YouTube strategy can definitely be a very big part of that that can be helpful for you. Another part of that is that video as engagement, and you know, Gary Vaynerchuk talks about this. He talks about the attention graph and the engagement graph and the interest graph.
Okay.
YouTube covers the spectrum there.
Okay.
Right? And from a marketing standpoint, there's nothing like the experience of seeing someone face to face. So with that, you get audio, you get video, you've got the ability to link out to, you know, other things. So you have the highest level of overall engagement and to really get people embedded. You can ask them questions, they can comment directly. So there's that community aspect to it, which is why I'm a big part of the engagement graph. Even if my videos don't get like the most views out of anybody, my engagement is tremendous. I will have over 10, 20, 40% engagement on a video sometimes in terms of comments, shares, likes. And people ask questions, and that builds other videos. So that's a huge part of it. In terms of the attention graph, I get, you know, I do long form and short form content, and people stay engaged with it. I have an average view time of over 4 minutes. Most people can't hit that sweet spot, even if they're doing short form content where all their content is under five, they still can't hit 4 minutes. I'm doing that.
Wow.
So, you know, that's not just a bragging thing. That's to like illustrate the point of how important it is to be able to maintain consistency and attention with what you're doing. So you can do that with YouTube, with a average website.
Okay.
Did you know that the average view on a website in terms of the page view time is under 2 minutes?
I was going to say 2 or 3 minutes feels about right.
Yeah. So you can go double or triple that with
video
on YouTube.
Yeah.
And then if you put a YouTube video into a web page,
boom,
boom.
Yeah.
Boom, you've got it.
That'll triple, double, whatever, you know, like exponentially grow that time on your website.
Exactly. Wow. And if you're someone who struggles with writing, you do a YouTube video, you just talk at the camera, you go back, and you can either just transcribe it or you can take notes from your own video, wrap it around that, expand on that. Then in 10 minutes, you got an article that took you an hour to write.
I tell that to people all the time that want to start a blog. And I'm like, you know what's easier than a blog? A podcast. You know,
exactly.
you know your topic, you know what you want to say it, and then go back and listen to the, you know, even if you don't publish the podcast and you end up writing all that stuff down, get it recorded and do something with it. I think a video is even better because then there's that visual element. I got a question though. You were mentioning the three different kinds of graphs. I've got engagement, attention. What was the third one?
The interest graph.
Okay, so can you go into a bit more, because you went into engagement, you went into attention. Let's go into that one a little bit more.
Okay, so the interest graph is about what are people interested in and what are they interested in from you and what can you talk about at length there, and you know, and that's the whole key. So the thing is, I know that there's a lot of people looking for different things on graphic design, specifically their portfolio stuff, building out the Photoshop computers and everything like that.
Right.
I know that that's huge. And so I go very deep in those topics. I know that people are like students. I did a couple of videos recently. You probably saw one or two of them about advice for graphic design students and then five things you won't learn in design school. Huge engagement there because the interest was there first. The interest was, okay, how many people are entering into college right now or getting ready to exit college and are fumbling through this and wondering, like, well, what do I do after I get out? How do I get a job? And wait, what aren't they teaching me here? And I get constant things in the comments about people who are students who are like, oh, I did not hear about this, or they've never addressed that in school. So that tells me what people are interested in. And I ask people, I use the channel, I ask people, and I use Twitter, and I'm like, what are you interested in? What do you need to know? What can I give you? And so I know exactly where to target people and what videos to put out now.
So you're kind of saying that your content is building content almost by using all of these graphs together.
Bingo.
Yeah, that's
exactly
cool. So let's get a little bit more background about you. Before you started doing the YouTube thing, you've been doing graphic design for a while.
Oh, yeah.
So where did that start?
Okay, so I grew up in a family of artists and creatives, both for hobbyists and some as a profession and so on and so forth. So I grew up around a lot of photographers, visual artists. I had an uncle who was a tremendous illustrator. He didn't go that route in his career, but he was a very huge inspiration in my life. I've been developing film in a darkroom since I was like 8 to 10 years old.
Cool.
So I was already into visual arts my whole life. I think one of the first commercial endeavors I did at about 5 or 6 years old was I was mass producing my own comic books by hand and selling them to my classmates. So
so not only were you being creative, that was a little bit of entrepreneurialism right there too, right?
Exactly.
Nice.
I started the hustle early. So
exactly.
That was a lot of fun. And what happened was around, I guess, I was about 13, 14 years old, we got our first major real computer in the house, computer, printer, scanner, all that good stuff. And I put the whole thing together myself for the whole family, put it in the living room, and I got into, wow, websites are amazing. Can I use websites to share my comics? Can I use websites to share my photography? And how do I do that? And back then there was no Google. You got to remember, this was like 17, 18 years ago now. There's no Google. Yahoo is the big thing. You have Angel Fire, GeoCities website hosting for free.
Yes.
Yeah, you remember back in the day.
With all the terrible GIFs and hamster dance websites.
Oh,
and,
yeah. So I got into that. I taught myself HTML code in a single summer. At like 13, 14 years old.
You're crazy.
And I had to do it the hard way because there was just like, I think there was webmonkey.com back then. I think that's still around. So that's a tremendous way to learn stuff. We have Khan Academy and all this other stuff now.
Yeah.
But I still think that the resources there are still relevant. And so I taught myself this stuff from scratch at 14 years old. And that's what, when people tell me, oh, well, I can't learn code, or it's like, I did it when it was harder,
when
we had less tools. I did it in Notepad at 14 years old.
Oh.
This was Notepad. This is back in the day. Remember, back in the day, Microsoft Front Page was just coming out, and that was the big thing.
And that was a pain to use then.
Oh, yeah. God, that was horrible. That was so painful. But we got so much better tools now, like Dreamweaver, which I love. But
yes.
I'll get into that in a minute. So, all right. So I'm 14 years old kid. I'm learning this stuff. I'm building, you know, websites for my own stuff. I'm doing stuff for anime, movies, whatever series I'm watching, whatever movies I'm seeing. And then I get together with these other kids on AOL all over the country. And guess what we're doing? We're doing remote online web conferencing in AOL before that technology exists. All that technology, as far as I'm concerned, was predicated on AOL, right? And you know, we were doing web conferencing, remote scheduling, you know, chat, private chat rooms, forum post back then. Yeah, forum post. That shows my age, right?
Yeah.
So we were doing all that stuff, and we were building these websites and having fun. I ended up doing some of it for local businesses, small scale at the time, for good money. Like when you're a 16-year-old kid, $300 for like a 10-page website's a big deal.
Yeah.
Especially when we're talking back in early 2000s, you know, late 90s. That's a lot of money back then.
That went a long way, yeah.
So, you know, that was the beginning of me being able to invest in my business. I stopped being an A student at that point, started slacking, started putting clients first.
You had your priorities, man.
Yeah. And back then, the thing is, I didn't even want to be a designer back then. I wanted to be a cartoonist and animator. I wanted to do comics and I wanted to do cartoons. That was my big thing. I got really discouraged at 17, though. I just felt like my artistic talent wasn't good enough to get me into Disney or Marvel. And I was making money at design. I was making money at photography. I was making money at websites. And I still enjoyed it. And I loved it. I was like, you know, I guess I was so afraid to fail at being a cartoonist that it prompted me to put all my eggs into being successful at design and business. And I like, it turned out to be the best decision I ever made. But the thing is, the thing that bothers me is I wish and I tell people to have the confidence and have the faith to go after the things you love, because I still feel, and I still do art today.
I wanted to ask, how much do you do today?
I do art all the time now today, but I keep a lot of it for myself and it's very personal. Some of it I put out there, and I do it in my speed art videos, and I do it in like posters for DeviantArt and just stuff to do. I've submitted it. That's actually how I got published in Advanced Photoshop Magazine. I didn't send them client work. I sent them my personal digital art, and I got into Advanced Photoshop Magazine in 2010, 2011, and then Photoshop Creative again in 2013. I won the Editor's Choice Award for the September in 2013 for the website. So that was just tremendous stuff, and I ended up going to college for graphic design. I went to community college, got a job directly out of that, did that for 3 years as an in-house designer, went on to an ad agency, was freelancing throughout the entire time. That's the other thing. I was freelancing before I graduated high school, and just as a hobbyist, I think by the time I left high school, I'd probably built like over 50 websites by the time I left high school. So I had a portfolio. And that's something I would tell people, regardless of what you're doing, whether it's podcasting, whether it's YouTube, whether it's your body of work is important. That's why I say create awesome. I tell everybody, create something awesome today at the end of my videos. And I tell people that in life, that it's like you have 365 days in a year. That's 365 opportunities every year to present your body of work and to show the results you can produce and you can deliver. If you're going to say you're doing something, you're about something, you say, oh, I'm an artist, oh, I'm a photographer, oh, I'm an audio professional and everything like that. In my mind, even if you cull, if you have 365 pieces at the end of every year, you can cull that down to the best of the best of the best. And there's no way you don't have 50 pieces of tremendous work or 20 pieces of tremendous work every single year. So if you that's why I don't get into years of how much experience someone has. If you're creating something awesome every day, 2 years, you can crush people who've been in it at a decade.
Yeah, I think I've been recently listening to a lot of home workers and stuff talking, and most of them are bloggers or writers, and they were talking about doing the same thing. They said write something every day, because you know, even if it's not gold every day, create something that you're proud of, and then you're going to be so much better at it. You know, just even looking back and watching the progress that you've made over the year and how awesome, like you said, things have gotten. I think that's the coolest idea. Just do it, you know, instead of being so afraid to do something, right?
Exactly. It's like people, you know what I find is people's biggest barrier? Sometimes it's one of these 10 barriers that I'm going to like really be digging into.
Okay.
I'm going to be actually doing this really cool thing where I'm going to do like 2-minute, 3-minute short film vignettes of like these 10 problems to creating awesome. And then I'm going to go back and then I'll do a book based off of that. That's kind of the interesting thing about content. You make it into something and then it becomes a product, right?
Right.
But one of the big things is people wait for permission. They wait, oh, I can't start my career till I'm 18 years old because people won't take me seriously. Quality work over everything else. You deliver tremendous results. People believe in it. So regardless of what age you're doing it at, if someone cares enough and values that, you can charge what you want, or you can charge something, or you can just get experience and get stuff out there to get people interested in, like, okay, well, I can't wait to see what they do. I'll watch their career with great interest, Anakin Skywalker. You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, you do an accomplishment from the time that whenever you want to do it, 5 years old, 10 years old, 12 years old, 18, whatever, you just do it. You don't wait till you have a degree to start into your profession. You don't wait for that permission. You don't wait for the piece of paper. You just do it, and businesses will come to you. Job employers will come to you if you're creating the results that they want and you're putting it out there to be seen.
Yeah, you've got to be seen to be able to do that kind of thing. So you've got really inspirational tips here. I really enjoyed them. Who would you say someone that inspires you?
Oh wow, a couple of people. I got to say Terry White, Scott Kelby, Jared Polin, Gary Vaynerchuk.
Who are these guys?
So Scott Kelby is the photography guy.
Okay.
And the Photoshop guy. He's got over 60 books on photography and Photoshop. He does Kelby Media Training. He does a show every Wednesday, The Grid. So if you're into photography and Photoshop stuff, Lightroom, you should definitely check him out.
Okay.
Gary Vaynerchuk is a tremendous social media personality. I'm heavily engaged with his social media community. Tweeted at him a couple of times. I actually got a shout out on his podcast/show, The Ask Gary V Show, on episode 66. That was huge. Blew my mind.
Very cool.
He wrote a book, Crush It. He talked about, you know, how he scaled his family's small business. It was a $40 million liquor store to like a $40 million liquor store in like 3 years. And he did it with email marketing, social media from the grounds up. He gets native into every platform. Huge inspiration. Terry White is the premier, Adobe evangelist across the board for Photoshop, Premiere, just, you know, all this great stuff with Creative Cloud. He's also a photographer, you know, and just a great human being, actually. I've engaged with him in Twitter quite a bit. Jared Polin is probably one of my biggest YouTube inspirations. He actually is a photographer, started out very young. I think he was shooting for like Beckett Magazine and Sports Illustrated by the time he was 16 years old because he didn't wait for permission. So he's a huge photography inspiration to me. As a YouTuber, he is doing tremendous things. He's up almost to 400,000 subscribers in his community just teaching people how to get into photography.
Wow.
And he's put out over, I think he's over 1,700 videos now. So,
how
big deal.
He's been at it for a bit, though, right?
He's been at it he started out 6 years ago.
Okay.
He started and launched his website and his brand for froknowsphoto.com back in 2010, June 2010. And he started by doing, like, at that point, he'd been doing YouTube for, like, 2 years, but hadn't been doing, scheduled content or daily content.
Gotcha.
He started that, moved into daily content. And, you know, within 2 years, he was at over 100,000 subscribers. And now, I think 3 more years after that, he's at almost 500,000. He's at like 400,000 or close to it now. He's done like tremendous things with that huge following, you know, and he does it all like from the bottom of his heart to teach people how to be successful. And that was a huge inspiration, you know, to me. And I would say another huge inspiration to me was an animator who recently passed away, Monty Ohm.
Okay.
From Rooster Teeth. He did the web series Ruby. He passed away recently at 33 years old and actually was getting more back into my drawing and animation stuff because of him. And I'm just really sad that he's gone. He was a tremendous loss to the creative community. I'm sure they're probably going to continue his show, Ruby, and continue his legacy. I know he mapped out everything for it.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So, you know, it's about – and that, like, really hit me because he was building – a lot of these people I talk about, they have a legacy mentality. And it's the mentality I have with Create Awesome and creating something awesome every day is what do I leave behind if something happens to me? What impact did I have in the world? I don't want to just get 100,000 people on YouTube just for the sake of it and for the fact that number looks really cool and the silver playlist button, which is awesome. It's the fact that I know that if I can influence the ideology and the, you know, success or what we define as success in the creative services industry across all the things that I'm interested in, it will have tremendous impact because I'm reaching people right now who might be 15 years old, want to be a graphic designer. In 5 or 10 years, they'll be in the industry making decisions, and they'll be influenced by things they heard me say. And in 10, 20 years, they might be in the hiring chair, and based on what I told them it takes to be successful, and also the empathy that you should have for the people you work with, you work for, other creative professionals, collaborate, don't compete. You're only competing with yourself. And that every day you should be producing something that you're happy with, that you're proud of, and that gives value to other people. By giving that message every single day, influencing people every single day, if I influence 100,000 people, or even a fraction of that, that means that 10 years from now, whether I'm around or not, there will be people in hiring decisions, there will be people in this industry that have more influence than I currently do, who will be acting from a position of consciousness, from creativity, from consistency, and from genuine empathy for other people and the value they can deliver.
Let's talk about that. This isn't the first time I've heard you use the word empathy. What do you mean when you say empathy for these people in these different positions?
Okay, so primary example. When you're working with a client, I find that the thing that's going to make you the most successful, and it's been my experience, is when you empathize with the client. Too many designers and artists are more interested in the cool thing they're going to put in their portfolio, which if you're doing your own work is fine, and you should want to put great work in your portfolio. But you need to first prioritize delivering for the client, because this is their business, this is their livelihood, this is their dream, and you need to put yourself in their shoes and say, how would I want someone to handle that dream for me, and how would I want someone to communicate with me, and what interest would I want them to take in me personally? And you build a relationship, and relationships always scale when you do them correctly from good intentions and the right motives. So that's what I mean by empathy, and that needs to not only deal with your clients, but if I'm working, and let's say 2 years from now, 5 years from now, that my studio grows and that I have other designers working for me, I'm going to have empathy that they're just starting out and that they don't know certain things. So I'm going to, you know, teach them what I know, but I'm also going to teach them to grow beyond me, because there might be a time that it's appropriate for them to move on beyond me. I feel that if I'm grooming someone for 5 years and you don't feel confident to be an entrepreneur, that I failed personally. I don't want you to work for me indefinitely unless it's that you have that much loyalty to me, and I still want you to go out and do something on your own, even if it's part-time. I still want you, even if you're going to work for me forever, write your book, do your YouTube channel, and I will help you do that. And I mean that sincerely. I'm helping people do that for free that would supposedly be my competition now, so no one can call me on that.
So let's talk about that, though. You've also used the word collaborate, don't compete.
Right.
That sounds like a philosophy statement of yours.
It is. I believe that competition comes from a scarcity mentality.
Yes.
And that collaboration comes from an abundance mentality.
Okay.
I think that there's so much tremendous success out there to be had and so many great things in the world that if I tried to take on all of them, I could only fail if I do it alone. And so that means that in order to be successful, that it takes at scale now, on a massive scale. If I wanted to do a feature-length 90-minute film, doing it by myself is setting myself up for failure. So yeah. Splitting up the piece of the pie and working with other people is the only way I could be successful at that endeavor. So if you think of everything from that position and you think of everything that you want to do on a large scale, then you do need other people. And we need other people all the time. We need the people who keep the lights running. We need the people who make awesome equipment for us to use. You know, we need the support from our IT providers. We need all that stuff. So in the creative services industry, there's this idea outside of art departments, mind you, that have to collaborate, that you're in competition with every other designer for jobs. And in theory, you could say that's true, but I don't believe that. I believe you're only in competition with the best version of yourself, and that if you're creating tremendous work, you're creating tremendous value, that you don't compete, because then people are looking for what you're creating. And if they're looking for what you're creating and the value you create, how are you competing with anybody? Because if I go into a store and I'm looking for one product, the other products on the shelves are not competing with that product, because I came with the intention of this is exactly what I need. So if you focus on fulfilling a need through in good intentions, empathy for your clients, creating tremendous value, and only competing with yourself and not worrying about what other people are doing beyond just understanding what's appropriate to the marketplace, what the standards are, obviously you want to see what other people are doing for that reason, but don't compete with them.
So you're saying, you know, if you're going into the store, you want Granny Smith apples, you're not going to go pick up a Red Delicious. Right?
Exactly.
So I've got a question for you then. How do you, someone starting out, so we're going to give advice to someone who's just starting out. I want to sell apples. How do I find what kind of apple I am? I think would be the next question. If you're not going to compete with everyone because you've got a specific type of apple, quote unquote apple, how do you find that?
Okay, so let's use even my YouTube channel as the example here.
Okay.
YouTube was obviously YouTube's a huge saturated market.
Everybody's making YouTube videos. Yes.
Okay. Even in creative services, there's a ton of people doing Photoshop tutorials, which is where I started really partly with my YouTube channels was the tutorials, right?
Okay.
So how do I differentiate? One, who do I want to help? Do I want to help the pros? Do I want to help people just starting out? Who do I care about? So that's the good intentions. That's the empathy. That's right there. Who is your audience? Who do you care about? Because if you like for Apple, we're talking about apples.
Okay.
Apple decided that it's going after a specific market. It doesn't need all of the market share to be successful. It has a small market share and is tremendously successful because it's micro-targeted, right?
Well, didn't they just announce how successful they were with their market, like their market cap, whatever?
Oh, God.
Tremendous. But they're going for a small niche, right?
Exactly. And that's part of the key. Most people go wide. I go deep, and I recommend that everyone go deep, right? So you find who do I care about? Who do I want to help? Who do I want to service? Maybe I'm a logo person. Maybe I don't do everything. Maybe I'm a branding person. Maybe I'm motion graphics. Go deep there, all right? And then you figure out, okay, well, what are people offering there, and what are they not offering? So I go ahead, and what I did was, like, I saw there were a lot of Photoshop tutorials.
Okay.
A lot of them were informative, but a lot of them were very technical and very hard for the average person to follow. So I addressed that. I saw that, okay, wow, the audio production values weren't necessarily great. I got some advice from Mike Russell of Music Radio Creative.
Yeah, yeah.
I watched some of his tutorials on audio. I picked his brain about equipment and stuff like that and techniques that should be used and everything like that. I got my audio to a tremendous level, as you're hearing right now, on a budget. I did this with a $40, $50 microphone, an Audio-Technica ATR-2100.
Just going to ask.
Pop filter. Eventually, I got a boom arm so that I could, you know, get placement. I'm using an M audio box to put in the XLR feed because the XLR is cleaner than the USB.
Yep, yep.
I did that. I learned about levels. You know, I did that stuff. I learned what does it take to deliver on the value I want to create. So I want a good audio value. What does it take to deliver good audio? I want good video. Okay, I stopped using the webcam. I went to a DSLR camera, the Nikon D3200. I realized, okay, you know what? Commitment is investment of money. So I'll invest in the tools that are going to make me successful at this the same way I did for graphic design with Photoshop and Adobe and stuff like that, Corel, what have you. And so I did that. So I was like, okay, so these are my videos. I'm using the best screen recorders. I'm using high quality. I went 1080p where I could. I went to doing it on the iMac for that reason to get the bigger screen and the sharper images and so on and so forth. So how could I create the best of the best, you know, for that tutorials? When I started doing the lecture stuff and doing the on-screen stuff, I was like, okay, what does it take? Okay, the in-camera audio sucks. Let me get a lapel mic. Let me stream in. Let me get a digital recorder. Let me do this. Let me do that. Okay, wow, I need to get out more content. How do I do it faster?
Right.
So it's like, oh, okay, people aren't doing this weekly, they're doing it sporadic. Okay, so what do I offer? I went, okay, I upped the game on, what was it? I upped the game on making tutorials that are easy to follow.
Okay.
I upped the game by doing fan engagement, responding to almost every comment.
Right.
Making sure the audio and video quality production values were high.
Okay.
Making sure that I was doing what people are interested in. Making sure, so I went for the attention graph, the interest graph, the engagement graph right there. Those are how I did those three. I made sure I was delivering on quality. Quality trumps all.
Yeah.
So that's how you do it. You figure out what can you offer that is either different or superior to what exists. And that's not competing. That's saying, what does it take for me to do the best job I possibly can and to stand out in a very noisy space, in a very noisy world? So if you're a designer or you're anyone in any field starting out, I say go those recommendations. Figure out based on what people are doing, how do you up the quality of that? Like, where is the lack in that niche? What is it that someone's not creating? Even for my content, what I found was a lot of people were doing, oh, here's an intro to color theory. Here's an intro to typography. What they weren't doing, how do you present your portfolio? Not just, oh, how you make a portfolio. How many pieces should be in it? What do employers think? You know what professors tell you? They tell you 10 to 12 pieces in your portfolio, right?
Okay.
And you know why they tell you that? They're grading 100 of the same assignment. That's why they tell you that. But they mistake and they think that they're empathizing with an employer saying, well, my time is valuable. I don't want to spend more than X amount of time. An employer or interviewer is like that too. So clearly we're the same, right? Wrong. An employer is investing $100,000 to $250,000 your first 3 to 5 years through your salary, your training, the money they're not making in training you or while you're learning, and the investment in you in terms of materials, keeping the lights on, all that stuff. 10 to 12 pieces is not enough to take the anxiety out of a six-figure decision in 30 minutes. So you have to go deep. You have to go deep. And so I go into that, and that's what something that they've never heard a graphic design YouTuber talk about. So I go stuff like that. That's, you know, that's a little different. On the video production stuff, I go to the budget side of, okay, you got all these YouTubers and people telling you, go out and buy this, you know, $2,000 lens, this $500 piece of equipment, this one, that one. And, you know, it's true. You do get what you pay for. You get investment in quality. But if you're starting, what's a good place to start? Still delivers on quality, still, you know, creates the value you want. Like I said, this is a $50 microphone. I could buy the $200 Yeti Pro. I could do that today. But you know what? The audio here is great. I don't need to do that right now, but there might be a time where I decide to start someone else out, let them inherit this microphone setup because I'm going to get the new investment. And that's me creating value for them, starting them out the right way, letting them, be at a high level and me going to my next level because I feel that that's the direction I want to go. It's like, oh, I'll find that, you know what? The $200 one does sound better. Let me go ahead and just up the quality for my audience. It's about those intentions. So that's where I come up with the create awesome philosophy is you constantly, you know, up your own game. You're like, what is the most awesome version of myself? How do I close the gap between where I am now and the person that I want to be in a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years? You know, I'm not competing with any other designer in the market. I'm competing with Emperor Roberto 10 years from now. I'm competing with that guy.
I love it.
Roberto, I know we could talk forever, and we're running a little short on time right now. Is there anything else that you might want to mention before we wrap up today?
Believe in yourself and believe in other people. And I'm going to borrow a quote from Gary Vaynerchuk. Human beings are the most underrated brand in existence. Overwhelmingly, 95% of human beings are good and have good intentions. And that might sound really, you know, insane considering what we see on the news, what we hear, things that happen in recent events. But you have to remember that every day you walk out your door and you don't have, and for every negative interaction you could possibly have, you're probably not having a negative interaction all the time. Probably overwhelmingly 90% of your interactions with people are fine. They're neutral or they're good. Right. And that's because people are not taking the opportunity to do you harm, but they might not be creating value for you either. So you need to create a shift, and you start with yourself of every interaction should be about creating value for other people. So I would say human beings are the most underrated brand in the world. You probably are yourself one of the most underrated brands in your sphere of influence. So up the game, up the value. Create something awesome today, be an awesome person, and it will come back to you. I genuinely believe in that karma, and it's not hokey. It's that it's a return on investment.
Right.
No deposit in, no return out. So put good things out there, and you will get good things in return because no one wants to be a thief. No one wants to be a liar, or at least 95% of people don't want to be. So you will get that return.
Very cool. Where can someone find you? RobertoBlake.com. Also on YouTube, youtube.com/RobertoBlake2, the number 2.
Right, and they can find me on Twitter, at Roberto Blake. Okay. You can find me on Facebook through my fan page at facebook.com/RobertoBlake2. And you can just find me in social media, Google me with Roberto Blake. And I'm in Instagram, Snapchat, I'm in Vine, I'm in pretty much everything social media
you
can think
of.
I'm everywhere at all times watching you.
Ooh, hear that, watching you. Roberto, thank you so much, man. I think we've got a lot of takeaway points from today. Just so much to let it soak in. I'm going to have to go back and listen to it myself. But Blake, how do you sign off for most of your things?
Everybody, thanks for tuning in with us today. And don't forget, create something awesome today.
Well, I hope you learned something. I definitely did. Thanks again to Roberto Blake. You can find him again over at robertoblake.com. Now, don't forget, just like on every episode, head over to mrc.fm/promo. That's where you're going to find 15% off your next audio production piece. Now, Music Radio Creative is the place to get that audio production piece. Now, if you're going to do something like Roberto and maybe jump on YouTube and become the next YouTube sensation, you're going to need probably a cool intro or some kind of logo or something audio eventually. Don't forget Music Radio Creative, mrc.fm/promo. You're going to get 15% off. Head over there right now. Take a peruse around. You might spur an idea here or there when it comes down to your next YouTube video. Next week on the show, we are talking to Rem from the Sci-Fi Movie Podcast, and we're going to learn all about what it takes for him to do and what it takes from going from radio background into a podcast background. That's next week on the audio production show from Music Radio Creative.
Listen.
Discover.
Share your ambitions.
Express your feelings.
Capture what matters.
Open the world of audio.
The world of audio.
Where everything is made to amaze.
Music Radio Creative.
Music Radio
Creative.
Music Radio Creative.
Music Radio Creative.